We actually looked up the etymology of the word, and it turns out it comes from a French word in the 1400s that indicated the status of a citizen, literally how active was a citizen. And through the years, civility for a lot of people has kind of taken on a connotation of politeness or niceness. So we've been very excited at the Institute to really go back to the roots of the word, which fundamentally are about treating other people with respect, with dignity, being able to disagree without being disagreeable. That's the arena in which we're working to revive civility.
First of all, would you agree that we've lost it to some degree in our political and civic discourse?
To a serious degree. An organization called Weber Shandwick has been doing a survey of civility in America for 7 years. Their last data, which came in November, early December of 2016, 75% of Americans really now say there is a crisis in incivility in our country. And that about almost exactly the same percentage even thinks we're losing status in the world by virtue of how people are seeing, particularly our leaders, behave with each other.
How did we get here?
You know, anything there's when there's this large a change in a social norm, many factors have been pushing us this direction, frankly, for a couple of decades. And most of them are structural issues in our electoral system that have created this hyperpartisanship. Way too much money in politics. Gerrymandering that means in every election cycle in the House of Representatives, there are only about 25 to 30 seats that are even competitive. So the parties in D.C. have begun to care more about the next election and holding their seats as a party than they have focused on the big issues facing the country. So it has led to a kind of character assassination in elections. Not elections in the United States have always been rough stuff. But we came to an era, particularly after the 50s and 60s, when the standards for how people treated each other, both in campaigning and government, had really gone to a higher level. Here, I'm in Maine. The way George Mitchell and Bob Dole worked together in the Senate, that just doesn't happen today. There's been a strong line drawn. Members are actually punished by leadership for working with people on the other side of the aisle. So this started in our politics. It started in our political rhetoric. And then, frankly, the 2016 election took it to a level of degradation that was very disturbing to Americans.
And to be clear, this is no longer just confined to electoral politics.
And frankly, the initiative that we have launched and the reason that I'm in Maine is exactly what you just said. This is now filtered into the public itself. We actually talked with political historians of both ideological bents, and there's wide agreement that the kind of level of incivility between people in the public itself hasn't existed in the United States post a presidential election since Reconstruction. We're 10 months later. People who voted for one person or the other are still vilifying, demonizing, even use the word hate. So the pledge that we're putting out there is a very simple statement of I pledge to be more reflective in my thoughts and to literally make a choice to be civil even when I'm dealing with someone who holds a very different view than I do.
I wonder how difficult that's going to be for folks when we're still in an environment where there is a lot of incivil discourse going on, say, in talk radio, on social media. Is it too much to ask of people to do this?
That's a really great question, and we believe it is a huge ask. You know, human beings are social beings. They respond to the structures and signals that are around them. And particularly social media is without question one of the places where bullying and where the use of this kind of language has just crossed many, many lines. So the notion that we're working on is that in a community, if people choose, it could be through an organization, a nonprofit organization, a church or a synagogue or a mosque or a school system, or frankly, a lot of health systems have approached us. If we can introduce the tools and the supports for this conversation in a social context where there is face-to-face support for doing it differently, we believe this, and we've seen this already, frankly, that this can take off in communities.
Obviously, you're optimistic about this. How long do you think it will take, and how will we know if we have returned to some better place, if you will?
When we began this, in discussions with my National Advisory Board, who Olympia Snow is a very active member of, by the by, we love working with Olympia. And she, you may remember when she resigned from the Senate, this was one of the reasons she said, we've got to go work with the public, because if the public doesn't demand this of elected officials, it won't happen.
Right.
But the direct answer to your question is, we're looking at this as a decade-long effort. I don't know why it's true of us, of human beings, but it's easier to destroy a social norm than it is to build a positive one. But the good news is, we're seeing a huge interest in this in younger generations, a willingness to say, this is unacceptable, and we have to do something very different about it. But we have to be in this for the long haul, no doubt.
All right. Dr. Lukensmeyer, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.